Blog Talk Radio.
It was God that did it, brother and sister. He did it. When you look back over your life, you need to see the part that God did. He did it. I don't care what sorts it came through, God did it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We so happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Pastor Bell if she'll give us a word of prayer.
Hello?
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. And thank you for that song, Pastor. Amen, amen. And the scripture I'd like to share is coming from Psalms 23 and verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Amen. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, we're coming to say thank you, Lord, for another time that we can come together and be in your word. Lord, we're just thanking you for all your many blessings. Father God, we give you thanks. And as we come to you in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would just touch our hearts, that we receive this word today. Bless each and every one, Father God, that is on this broadcast today, those that are listening by internet, Father God. Be with each and every one of us. May we draw closer to you, Father God. Bless all those that are sick and shut in, those who've asked us to keep them in prayer, those that are going through, Father God. We know you're a way maker out of no way, for your word just comforts us and let us know, Father God, that you will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And by your stripes we're healed, Father God. And there's nothing that you cannot do for your children, those who believe in you, those who trusted in you. Father God, we ask that you will bless our pastor, continue to lead and guide him. Father God, as the Holy Spirit use him to bring this word out and making it plain so that we can understand it, Father God. And Lord, be with each and every one of us as we're listening, Father God, and let us listen with our heart, with our spirit, man, that we're able to receive all of the blessings you have for us. So we bind up anything and everything that may try to come up against our pastor, against this broadcast, against the listeners and those that participate, because we come, Father God, learning more and more of you and how to be spiritual beings, Father God. Continue to strengthen us day by day. And help us to continue to be in the Word of God and studying the Word of God and be new creatures as your Word teaches us. And we thank you, Father God, in Christ Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. There's so much going on in the spirit world, and the Lord showing me that there's so many areas of life that need to be restored. But it starts with the mind, brothers and sisters. Your mind has to be put on God. Your mind has to be put on the Word of God. And in order to do that, then your mind has to be restored spiritually. See, your mind happens to be your soul, the soul of a man. Now, I know that there has been a debate in that subject as far as the soul of a man, but the soul of a man is his mind, his emotions, and all those things. The spirit of a man is the hidden man of the heart, and that's the part that has to get born again so it can receive a restored mind. I want y'all to see where I'm going with this first. You've been born again, and you become a new creature. But there are some things you need in that. And you start with your mind. That's why David said, he restores my soul, his mind. So once he get it restored, this is one of our foundational scriptures for those that may not know it. He leadeth me. See, he can't lead you until you get on his side. And when he leads you, here's the path. He's going to lead you, God. He's going to lead you in the path of righteousness. Well, Lord, why are you doing this? I'm doing it for my sake. I just think the way the Lord showed me that was so beautiful, brothers and sisters, to renew your soul or to renew your mind. And one of the things you're going to have to do, that's something Pastor talked about all last week. But let me support this first by saying that Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And John 8:31 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So here it is, brothers and sisters. What are you seeking first? The first thing you got to do is seek. And you're going to seek with your mind. And mm-hmm. what you're going to seek is God's stuff, his kingdom. Well, mm-hmm. his kingdom is predicated on righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. And kind of go back to what Pastor talked on last week. Listen, brothers and sisters. Now I know you got to have love. Why?
Amen.
Because of the state of the world. Somebody need to give the state of the world address right about now. I'm going to ask, because you got to know where the world is at. See, you don't want to be part of the world. You can't be part of both worlds. You're either going to be part of the new creation and you strive in that way, you're oppressing that way, or you're going to be part of the old world. And that's what the Bible said. Don't be conformed to the ways of the world. Can't be conformed Amen. To it. He constantly teaches us this. And if you're going to be part of this new and living way, you're going to have to at some point in time make the decision that, hey, man, I'm loving God first. And not just say it, but actually do it. So mm-hmm. let's get started with 1 John 5:19. I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon if she'll read 1 John 5:19.
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor. Please, good afternoon, Pastor Bell. 1 John 5:19.
Yes.
King James. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And we know that the Son of God came so we could recognize and understand and the truth of God. What a gift. And we are living in the truth itself in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay. Okay. And let us read 1 John 5:19.
Oh. And the King James, it reads as follows. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we know that the Son of God came so we could recognize and understand the truth of God. What a gift. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want y'all to really hear that. The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You see, and you got to know what that word world means. And then you got to understand that there's a wicked one out here. You just got to believe the scripture. That's all. Believe that. Not because I'm saying it. I want you to believe because I'm saying it. I'm believe because it's the word of God, and it's something you believe in. It's something you trust. And we mm-hmm. have to apply that to our lives.
So
who is he that overcoming the world? But he that believed that Jesus is the Son of God, he that's going to act on the word of God is those that are going to believe. And it starts mm-hmm. with the mind. In Romans 12, well, I want to read Romans 12 and 2, and then we're going to read Romans 12 and 9. So let's read Romans 12 and 2 first.
And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, that is good, and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize that he wants what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen.
Amen. And then I want you to read verse 9, Evangelist Sharon, if you will, please, ma'am.
Okay. Just one second, I'm sorry. Romans 12 and verse 9.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Amen.
Amen. So in the Message Bible, love sinners of who you are. Don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. You don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the restoring or renewing by your mind. Your mind has to get renewed. It has to be restored. Our minds have to be restored. Why?
Mm-hmm.
See, if our minds are not restored, watch this, We don't think like the world thinks.
Say that now.
Y'all didn't hear that yet. See, he said, don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because he don't want you thinking like the world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, why our mind has to be restored? So we can prove what acceptable or what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You can't prove. All you can do is tell me a worldly viewpoint or something you feel. But you can't tell me what God's viewpoint is because you're conformed to the world. So that's why he says, don't be conformed to the ways of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important to start loving God, because to love God is to love his word.
Amen.
And I'll show you that in the word of God. So it don't have to be disputed who love God and who don't. If you love him, you love his word. You're in his word. You're doing his word. Your focus is his word. So he says, here's what I want you to do. I like the way the Messenger Bible put it in that ninth verse. If you think about it, that's deep, brothers and sisters. See, your love has to be sincere. It has to be sincere. Sincerity. You have to be sincere with this. Your love. The God kind of love. And then you got to turn around and hate evil. Well, Pastor, I need a whole list of things. You don't need no list of nothing. You know what's evil.
Amen.
Let it go and hold to what is good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you have to do. You have to let it go and hold to what is good.
Yes.
And then he says, do not love the world. I mean, that is like a commandment. Over there in I'll let you all read this whole thing. It's over there in 1 John 2 and 15. Well, read through 17. That's 1 John, John 2, 15, 17. See, when you're going to get restored, your mind got to get renewed, and that's being restored. So you can say, okay, yeah, this is a God thing, or it's not a God thing. So, and especially his perfect will, not just any kind of will, but his perfect will. And without your mind being restored or renewed on the word of God, you still into the old adamant world. You still living after the Adam stuff, the worldly stuff. So he said, I want you to be conformed to this way of the world, because if you do, you can't prove what's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So it's about loving God first and foremost. First and foremost. Okay, mm-hmm. In 1 John 2, and read 15 through 17 for me, please.
In the King James, it reads as follows, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, that lust of flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life of the world, and the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen.
Mm. Amen, amen. From the Message Bible, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all is wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Amen. Amen.
Amen. That's what you might want to read again.
Amen. All right. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all is wanting, wanting, wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Amen.
Amen.
See, it's about our eternal life. Let's not forget when Jesus answered, that my kingdom, or my his kingdom, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. So I could not be delivered to the Jews. So he said, my kingdom is not from here. It's scripture, I'm telling you. So that's why he tell you, don't love the world. That's why I tell people all the time, go and see what the word world means. Do your research. Do your research. It pretty much tell you right here. Because
yeah.
It said don't. Don't. How many times you've told your children, don't.
Mm-hmm.
Don't love the world. Pastor was talking about love last week. It's good to love God. But if you're going to love God, you can't love the world. You can't love them both. You're going to love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. One is going to override the other. You can't do both of them. You can't be 50-50. You can't be both of them. You're going to either love the world or you're going to hate God, or you're going to hate God and love the world. Now, I know people probably would want to challenge that. And so, I do this. No, that's an enjoyment, but then when you put things in the right context, is that the world or is it God?
All right.
So you got to draw a line and say, okay, is this a worldly thing or a godly thing? And it doesn't matter what the world teaches or doctors are teaching. It's about living in Christ, brothers and sisters. He starts out by telling us we're his children. We're children of love.
Yes, hallelujah.
So we're children of love. He said, don't take that love, which Pastor talked about last week, that agape, and do it to the world. He said, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know some of you probably get that little twist and say, well, it's unconditional. No, listen, brothers and sisters, for all that is in the world is lust of the flesh. Got to draw a line there. The lust of the eye. Got to draw a line there. The pride of life. He says, this stuff not of the Father, but it's of the world. See, a lot of people get caught up in pride. You'd be surprised. That was the first sin in the world was pride. Satan gets you lifted up. And I can give you a whole list of things, but then I'll be going a little different than what I want, what the word is teaching. But brother, sister, I'm going to tell you, man, pride, there's a list of stuff. Somebody tell you you cute, pride jumps in. Somebody tell you, boy, look at the muscles on that brother right there. Woo, look at them guns on him. Get caught up in pride. And then some people start living that way. There's all kinds of things that cause, honey, you look so nice. And you get all these different compliments, and you'll find yourself caught up in pride because you'll find yourself catering to that idea. Hey, I got to look good for the next person. I got to do this for the next situation. Man, boy, your car sure look nice. Ooh, you got a beautiful car. Man, I got to wash this thing here. Sure, I got to wash this. And so next time somebody see me, they'll tell me how beautiful my car is. And so I better put some wheels on here. I better put some 24s on here now. I mean, pride, see? Money. Money is another thing. Money is another thing calls you. See, people who loves pride, they don't have a love for the Father.
Have mercy.
That's why these, and I know people sometimes get, they call it gay pride. Gay pride. Think about that. That's opposite of what the Word of God is saying. He said, and the pride of life. See, that's all of life. There's pride in life. And you get caught up in that. They have a gay parade here. They call it the pride, some kind of gay parade. And they got it pride. And they paint the streets here.
Have mercy.
Because that's where they want people living at. They want you to be proud that you're a man and acting like a woman. Or a woman acting like a man. You proud. Stick your head up. Now, they need to get their butts back in the closet and get saved again if you want eternal life. Now, you may not want eternal life, and so I understand. Because in this life here, you can get away with that, but that's not going to work in eternity, brothers and sisters, and that may not be your focus. But if your focus is to have eternal life, what Pastor read about a while ago, you can't be participating on everything that goes in on the world. At some point, you got to let it go and get your mind renewed or restored back to the things of God. That's what happened to Lucifer. That's what happened to Adam. That's what happened to Eve. They all tasted that pride and got caught up.
Amen.
He was over the choir. He got caught up that he had all this power. See, that's about what money will do. Money lets you buy this, buy that, have these friends, that friend. It gets you caught up, and you don't really see the sincerity, the significance of truth. Yeah, pride will take you past truth. Pride won't even let you look at truth. You get caught up, and God is here pleading with us, calling us his children.
Help us, Lord. Yeah.
You don't want to oppose Christ. When you oppose Christ's teaching, you become antichrist. You don't want to do that, brother and sister. So it's like a warning. So when he says, love not the world, this is a warning for us. If you're going to distribute your love and you got real, true love, you can't love the things of the world. Most people see love as the phileo. That's human love. That's how you love from a human perspective. I said this to Pastor yesterday, and it's a shame. that the American language and even the English didn't have a one. But the English, they got two words for love. But the language, we really only have one word for love, and that's love. We use the same word love for everything. I love my car. Yeah. I love my sister. I love my brother. I love my job. And then I turn around and say the same love for my wife or my girlfriend or my boyfriend or my mate. Love. See, and people use that literally, and it should be lust instead of love.
That's right. Say it.
And the reason in some instance, because of the word pastor used last week, phileo. See, there's a lot of that's fleshly stuff. It's the lust of the flesh. That's phileo.
Yeah.
But people convert that as being love. And in the English language that we use today, and brothers and sisters, believe me, I am nowhere near trying to be qualified to teach English. But I know one thing. We use love, the word love for everything. And then we'll use a word to support it like, you know what I mean. No. I don't know what you mean. Explain to me what you mean. Because you use the same love for that dog or that cat. And then you turn around and you get into bed with your mate, which should be a woman. Mm-hmm. You should have a husband, but or your old man. And then you tell your old man you love him. And then and put a pin there for a moment, because the gays use that same word love to tell they love each other, and they don't necessarily mean what you think they mean.
Amen. Say that.
Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
See, the world has the word love so misappropriated it would blow your mind that they use the same word love for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can't use it for everything, brothers and sisters. Well, what am I going to do? Well, you know, in the English, that's what I'm telling you now. It's not your fault. It's not our fault. But that's just what the English language does. So in the Greek and in the Hebrew, they got different words and different meanings for the same word love. But there's a difference when you love your brother. So they have a word for that. There's a difference when you love your sister. They got a word for that. It's different when you love food. They got a different word, love, for that. So everything, they have a different word, love, for it. Or they kind of like put it in several categories so there'll be some understanding there.
Amen.
There can be some understanding, because you can't have the same love that you have for this brother and that sister, and you using the same word love. Is this making sense, Pastor Evangelist Sharon? Is this making sense to anybody?
Yes, it's making sense, because there's different kinds of love. That's what you bring it out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you said,
Go ahead, Pastor.
Just like you were saying, the different type of love and what it means, and you won't know that until you go into the different language, till you do your research, as you said. Then that's when you'll find out, so when I'm saying I love this person, I need to really break it down to let them know what type of love it is I'm talking about.
Right.
You're right. All right. Languages go with that one love for everything. But when you get deep with it and somebody will ask you, well, what do you mean? Or how can you express it? Then that's when you can break it down and say, well, it's this kind of love, and let them know the different names. So it's good to know those different, what love is in the different languages like the Greek and the Hebrew.
Oh, amen. And when you know the root word of this word love, then you go from a whole different way of looking at things. Because I realize everybody don't love God.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they say they do. Because, see, some of it, some love you might be talking about friendship. Some love you might be expressing how you care for someone. Some love, you know, I just love that dress you got on. Really? Really? You love that dress? What you mean you love that dress? See, that's when the light will come on. Brothers, I'm going to be honest with you. When the words become true to you, when it has meaning, when it has significance, when it becomes something other than logo or logos, the word has to become alive. It has to be rhema. When that began to come alive in your spirit, man, then you real careful to what you answer to. You real careful to what you give adhere to. Because, see, God told me, he said, you know what? You got to get back to understanding what that person just said. And because they said it, don't mean you live there. So you got to get restored or have your mind renewed on what the words say, not what people say. Because you can get caught up into what people say. And you don't want to do that. That's what the last thing you want to do, is get caught up in what people say. Because the Bible says, if you were of the world would love his own. I went, what? Yeah. But the word love, that means care for. That's over there in John 15:19-20. Did we read that? We didn't read that, did we?
No,
we got to. Let's read John 15:19-20. See, this sort of piggybacking on the words that Pastor used last week in terms of love, and it just clarity to me, because people using this word love and just throwing it around like it's a big deal. I mean, you see it everywhere. You see the printed word love on things. They make hairpins. They make shoes. They got coats. They got all kind of things on wooden. I was over there in Joanne's store the other day. Boy, everything I look around, I saw love on cardboard. And, well, what you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
To me, it wasn't speaking to me. But when I look in the Word of God and I began to see love, well, then things began to pop. And so God said, well, you need to check and see what kind of love they're talking about here. Like in John 15:19-20. If you'll read that for me, Evangelist Sharon, please.
If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the words that I said unto you. Remember the words that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, if you live on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. When that happens, remember this. Servants don't get better treatment than their masters. If they beat on me, they will certainly beat on you. If they did what I told them, they will do what you tell them. Amen.
Amen.
Period.
Amen. Period. Amen.
We don't get a chance to get away with stuff. You're just like the master now. God has put the same brand on the master he done put on us. So see,
Amen.
When I read this, he said, if the world hate you, wake up, baby. Mm-hmm. Start praising God.
Yeah. Amen.
And they're not going to hate you because of you. They're going to hate you because of the words. Please hear this. That's why they're going to hate you. Because they'll like you and they'll care for you and all that. But because of the word, see, they're going to hate you because you brought light to that word, see. So he said, here's what you got to realize. If they hate you, realize they hated me first before they even hated you. You weren't even here.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
When you start having things in common with the world, the world going to love you then. They're going to be your friend. Oh, yeah, man, we good, you know, because you're doing everything the world do. Stop doing, if you don't believe this, try it. Go and disagree with some of the things you know is worldly. You'll figure out you don't have nothing in common with the world.
Amen.
God chose you. Mm-hmm. God chose you.
Thank you, Lord.
You ought to be praising God. God chose you.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm.
He wanted you to be part of him. God chose us.
Yes,
we have purpose in God.
Yes.
But the enemy don't ever want you to see that.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
In James 4:4, you don't have to turn down this, won't you? But it's there. In James 4:4, he says, friendship with the world is an enemy to God. See, the world is about making that dirty, filthy lucre. The world is about pride. The world is about... That's how they care. They don't really care anything about God and his word and eternal life and trying to help other people to see the light. They don't care anything about that. Satan don't care anything about that. And he don't want you to care anything about that. And when you do, see here's what happened. I told you all this on yesterday. See, the light has come into the world. And men love darkness. Well, I love that word right there, love. Man, you got to do the research on love. I'm telling you, brother and sister. He says, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that participates and practice evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I'm not just going to tell you that, but I'm going to tell you where it's at. So we're in St. John 3:19-20. It's there. St. John 3:19-20. The light has come into the world. See, the light you have, you begin to share that to that world, to that outside world, simply meaning anyone outside of Christ. He said they love darkness. Now, this word love here, is a fleshly love. There's another word for it. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It didn't. But I'll bring that word love to you. But it's not agape. I was thinking about the root word for this word. There's a root word for this word that it has the same to do with the opposite of light. Because the Bible says the light shining in darkness and the darkness could not comprehend it. Darkness, it's the kind of love they have. They ignore truth. It's the kind of love that it makes it dark. It makes the love dark. It's pride. It's caught up in that. But you have to, it won't even let you listen. Because St. John 1:5 says, the light shined in darkness, and the darkness didn't even comprehend it. You know why? Because it was caught up in the flesh. Mm-hmm. So I almost got to go back to First Corinthians, the second chapter. Got to almost go back there and get a real good understanding of it because they hadn't been converted, or if they had, they need to be restored again back into the fold of thinking. See, in your in that way of knowledge. Let me say three more other things, and then I'm gonna be, and I'll just be done with this. I don't just want anybody to be deceived. See, evil company, they may have good habits, but they need to awake to righteousness. And the Bible says, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. I'm going to look it up. But blessed is the man that make the Lord his trust. Got to trust God on this. God does not respect pride.
Amen.
Because, see, along with pride, there's go lie. Jesus said to Peter, now this is his own disciple, somebody he'd been walking with, sharing the word of God. Jesus had to turn on him. That's what it's saying here. He had to turn on him. And he told him, to get behind me, Satan. He said, you are offensive to me. You're offending me.
Mm-hmm.
You're not mindful of the things of God. See, one of Satan's job is to take the things of God and corrupt it, make it like a four-footed beast or something incorruptible. That people want to take God and make their God. That's a better way of saying it. But if you love God, he said, you'll keep my word. That's how you're going to know. You'll take it. You're not going to try to change it. You'll keep it like it is. So that, I'm just telling you, needs we need to restore. The reason we need to restore, and also I wanted Pastor to continue with the love thing, but see it from a different perspective, the fact that everybody ain't loving. And it's good to love, and it's good to love like God loves. So what she brought out, brothers and sisters, was beautiful last week. She was telling you the different kinds of love. And so I'm pretty much telling you why we got these different kind of love. Because mm-hmm. it's easy to misunderstand this if your mind hadn't been restored. So it's very important. Okay, I had said last week, and I'm going to go back to it this week. Not last week, week before last. I didn't want to forget. If anybody had any comments or wanted to share anything, for why it's on you fresh, we'll let you see it.
Amen, amen. Well, I'd like to just, the love, and I still trying to pronounce the one that you pronounced today, Pastor.
Okay,
Philea. Philea. Uh-huh. Thank you. I'm gonna have to say that a few more times, but the Philea love, and it says is a type of intimate love in the Bible that most Christians practice toward each other. And you, because you had brought that out, and then you have an Eros, I think, Eros, and that is the sexual or romantic love.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Storge, and that is family love, the affectionate bond that develops naturally between parent and children and brothers and sisters. And then we have the agape love.
And yeah, I know you mentioned, I think you mentioned four of them, which was great, but actually there's seven more, and I have to go and get my Youngs and my Strongs out and maybe just add on to it. But you did such a great job. I wasn't trying to add the rest of them, but I know it's at least seven of them, the different words they use for love. But I know it's at least seven. I just don't remember them all right now. I have to go back and get back in there again, but we may have to do that. But I wanted to bring that out. May be able to do it for Thankful Thursday. I don't know, because I'm thankful for the word love, but I'm thankful for those who understand the word love, that it's just not love face value. It's love with depth. It's love with meanings. It's love with adjectives. It's love that has more than just the four-letter word.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would love to. I would love to learn the others as well, Pastor.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds like a plan. We may have to get into that. But I just was saying, you know, God restoring us, He restoring us back to the things that He gives us in this, for this new life, for this new and living way.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Okay, Pastor. And everyone, thank y'all so much. We'll see you on tomorrow for the word at noon.
God bless.